Any of you reach the end of the Makarot, just out of curiosity? Good? Oh, excellent. Okay, so I want to start from the end. Okay, and I deliberately put it at the end, right, because I was afraid that if we put it at the beginning, you'd get caught up with the question and then not do the Makarot, which is going to be important. But I want to start with the question that I saw recently. There was a question that was posed to one of the leading poskim today, Rav Asher Weiss Shlita. So this was the Mincha Dasher. This is the question that was posed to him. Okay, you have a short Shaila Tshuva. I didn't really go into this. You know, I saw it in a posting of his, and he didn't go in, and I want to deal with the question together with you and then see whether perhaps we, you know, couldn't understand what he said. We look at it from a different perspective. Here's the question. Baal number three. Baal chanut shematzas chum chesef b'chanut b'mkom amidat halakuchot. So you have a storekeeper. He found a sum of money where customers are found, not behind the counter, on the counter, but in that the area which is most of the store where customers are found. Mm-hmm. All right. So according to the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, and we're going to hopefully see the source for that, the Mishnah, etc., on the bottom of Chafel Amud Bet. And so the storekeeper, we can actually not wait till we take a look at the Mishnah. Mishnah is on the Chavav Amudet. Right, this was the second group of sources that were on the Daf Makorot. Matzah b'chanut harei elu shelo. Right, if a person finds money in a store, the Rashi says anything which is ein bo siman, but as we all know, money doesn't have a siman if it's not found in a wallet or something along those lines. If it's just cold cash, so then it's without a siman, and that is considered to be something that people are miyayish, right? They don't expect to be able to get back, and therefore it belongs to the finder. And the Mishnah continues, well, ben ateva v'lechenvani shalchenvani, right? But if you find it between the cash register, we'll say, and the storekeeper himself, in other words, behind the counter, so then presumably it belongs to the storekeeper, etc. But so based on this one line, the Shulchan Aruch paskens the halacha that a store of money found in a store, so it's going to be considered a case of Yeyush, and the Gemara will hopefully reach the beginning of the Gemara as well. We'll talk a little bit, some of the finer details. But so the storekeeper, this is a good firm Jew, so he finds the money by, you know, closing time of the store, and so he takes it because this is Harei Elu Shema. Lachar kama yamim. So after a few days, nichnas echad lechanut v'darash et kaspo she'avad. So a person comes into the store and he says, listen, I left some money in the store a few days ago. He might have even told him the exact sum, I don't know. And he says, I'd like it back. V'ta'anato b'fiv, and here's the person who lost the money is also a good frum Jew. He knows the Mishnah. He knows the halacha. But he says, it belongs to me. Why? So he says, listen, when the Mishnah was written, they didn't have security cameras. But your store has a security camera. So lo nidyeish bikaspo, I did not have yeush. There's a reason why do people have yeush? Because
they don't think they'll be able to find it.
They're not going to be able to find it. You don't know who took it, right? If I leave some money in the store, Someone else is going to come by, sees the 100 shekel bill, looks around, nobody is there, nobody's looking for his money, right? Picks it up. I happened to have this situation a few years ago. I found, I think it was a 20 shekel bill, maybe it was a 50 shekel bill, I don't remember, on the floor of the mall. I was in Malcha, I was walking, and there was a 20 shekel bill on the floor. Picked it up, I looked around, right, tried to see if somebody was looking, you know, for their wallet, whatever. Walked around a few minutes in that area with the bill. No one came back. Okay, you know, it's Harei Elu Shelo. There's nothing that you could do, right? So that's a situation, Harei Elu Shelo. But, right, so, you know, today in a mall, you can go maybe to the office and say, you know, here, there's a lost and found. Right? Halakhically, though, would you have to? Probably not. So here, though, the person says, but there's security cameras. So everyone knows, right? If I have, probably, you know, was more than 20 shekel that we're talking about, something which is a little more significant. So, lo nitya esh mikaspo, v'histamecha kach, she'efshar yeh levarer al piseret hatzilum. In other words, he realized that he left the money. He said, but I don't have to go running to the store to get the money. I'll go back to the store in a few days because they can just run the videotape, as it were. Run the camera, see who took it. And I can go over to him, so there's no yeyush anymore. So he said, listen, you know, if you found the money, we can prove it, right? I can ask you to please let's go and take a look at the recording, and we can see who's the video and see who has the money. If you have the money, I'd like it back. I never had yeush because of that. That's the claim. So the question is, would this now be a reasonable change? In other words, this is something that we have to take into account. All of the halachot, and I'm not going to get into the detail here, because you don't have time, but all of the halachot that we're learning, in terms of yeush, in terms of Hashavat Aveda in general, so they all require an update, as it were. In other words, and they get an update in any given society. What is considered yeush in one society is not necessarily going to be considered to be yeush in another society. Right? If you have, just to give a simple example, this is a, right, you know, if you lose a pen, okay, you know, whatever, not even a very expensive pen, is that something that a person would have yeush today on? Right? So presumably, right, that's something that a person would have yeush on pretty quickly. It's the equivalent of what the Gemara was talking about, that when it came to cash, people check their pocket, right? If you have a pen in your in your breast pocket, so usually, you know, you're checking it pretty frequently, and if it's missing, so you know right away. But you're not going to find that halacha anywhere in the Gemara about a pen, right? Because people weren't walking around with pens at the time. Right? So this is just an example, a small example, but and there are many other examples that you can think of how, because of the society, things change. There's the nature of the you know, hakraza, the way that you have to let people know that things are lost, is it the same? Right? All sorts of halachot, which we're not going to get into right now, other time perhaps, yes. But this is another example. Would this be considered yeush if you know that there's security cameras around? Yeah.
I would say that's a bad argument, because that argument only works so long as you're working within the confines of the space in question. For instance, security cameras, unless obviously you have one outside, but that's a different issue. But the security camera he's talking about is only referring to what's at the store. The moment anybody takes that money outside the store, he has no idea where that money is anymore.
But he would know who took it.
Okay, but it could be somebody he has no idea. It could be somebody from Tel Aviv. In the moment, so the whole point is, if you don't know where the money's going to be, then it's hacker, and that's when anybody can keep it.
Okay, so you're answering. Before we get to that, I want to talk about the the issues at hand, right? I'm not going to go to his answer yet. We'll take a look what his answer was in a minute. I put it on the sheet. But the but before we look, take a look at his answer, let's take a look at some of the Makora. And as it would have it, it happens to be that the key Makorot are two sugyot back to back, one right before the Mishnah, one the Mishnah and afterwards, which I think shed light on this question directly. Okay? So it could very well be, you know, what Sam is saying. We'll see if that's the how that goes. Let's take a look at it. Okay, so the Gemara, last few lines, six lines or so, seven lines before the Mishnah. The Gemara says the following. Amar Rava. Rava said, Hai man, dechazi, dinafal zuze mechavre. Right, so a person sees money falling out of another person's pocket. But, bechalta, and it fell into a sand dune. Okay? It's something which is, so it's very, very difficult for a person to find the coin. And the person has lost the coin, right? Just recently, you know, there was a, these kind of storms in Israel will frequently be followed by archaeological discoveries. Right? In other words, that and especially on the beach in those areas near Caesarea or Yavne, things like that. So you'll find suddenly things which were covered for centuries, right, will suddenly be exposed because of a storm. So a person, you know, lost something in the time of the Gemara 1,500 years ago, it could be that it will be found in that sand dune this week, okay? Not unheard of at all. So now, Ashkeche Vishakle. So, but this particular coin will not be unearthed in the archaeological dig because I see he dropped the coin. I go over to the sand dune after he leaves, dig it up a little bit, and I find the coin, and I took it. Lo mechayev lahadurele. So he says, the Gemara says, you don't have to return it. In other words, now I know the person lost it, presumably, or quite possibly, that it there was no yeush. Right? Maybe the person who lost it doesn't even know yet, and this touches on the question of yeush shalomidat. We'll say yeush shalomidat lo have yeush. Remember that from the beginning of the parak? That if a person is unaware of the loss, we don't necessarily assume that, we don't treat it as yeush, the shita of Abaye. In that machlokas, here it's Rav who's talking, that in of itself is a discussion, we'll leave that aside. And now, the Gemara says, why not? My taima. Hahu, denafa mine miyayeshu. So the Gemara says, he must have had yeush. Why? V'afal gav, he had yeush, and then the Gemara says, afal gav, even though the chazia da'aite arbala the kamar mirabel, even if you see this person bringing a sieve and starting to sift through the sand, right? It's doing everything it can to find the lost coin. Nevertheless, it's considered to be yesh. Why? Amar ki hechi dinafo minoi didi hachinami nafo miinish achrina umishkachna mide. In other words, basically, the Gemara says that his action isn't going to be reflective of the situation. He's searching through it, right? He's searching, but he's not really searching for his own coin. He just realized, hey, you know, this is... Remember when you were in, in the primary school, and you lost something? Right, and you drop something. You don't know where it fell, so you drop something else to see where that lands. Because he said, "Well, you know, it'll probably go to wherever that other thing was." Right, so that's the basic ad. Right, that never worked. Things never. Then you lost two things. Right? So the I've got to follow it this time, and you don't. Right. So basically, that's what the person's thinking. If I'm losing things here, that means that, you know, hey, the sand dune must be full of coins. And so I'll find some other people's coins. There's buried treasure here. Okay? Pulls out his, you know, the Geiger counter. Finds the coins. Okay? So that is the Gemara's rationale. Now the Ritva on this says the following. It says, first of all, that when it comes to the case, this doesn't really make sense. First of all, just take one step back. If this was a situation where he didn't drop it in the sand, he dropped it on the floor. So then what would be the halacha according to the Ritva? Based on his deduction from the Gemara, yeah?
He would have to return it.
He'd have to return it. Why?
It's not gone.
After all, it's money. No siman. Why should he have to return it? Because it's Zoyeush. Again, this is not a trick question, not a hard idea that the Ritva is saying right here. He's just saying the Gemara is talking about specifically Chalta for the reason that we were talking about before. Whereas even money, right, even though we said money person is Miyayish very quickly, but if you know for a fact he wasn't Miyayish because he didn't have a chance to look at, right, because what's the reason why do we assume Miyayish with regard to money? I mentioned it just a moment ago with regard to the pen. He's checking his pockets. But if I see that he did not check his pockets, right? I know that he, with 100% assurity, has not yet checked his pockets, so then I can't assume Yeush. But if there is this situation where it is in the sand dune, then I can. Why is the sand dune different? So the Ritva continues and says the sand dune is the equivalent of a case that we've seen before of Zutel Shalyam. Because basically, you don't need it to be swept aside. As long as it's something which is it's in a situation where the odds of it being found are by anyone are slim to none. Like I said, I wasn't making it up. Check the news next week. Could very well be that there are things that have been swept up by this storm that have been lost for centuries. Things that are in sand dunes, they sink down, many, many feet meters into the ground until the shifting sands shift. That's what shifting sands do. So until they shift, right, you're not going to find it. So from this perspective, it's avudah l'chol adam, it's lost to the entire world. This thing doesn't, this is, now you just have the second person who saw this happened to be lucky to find it. But really, it's an avudah l'chol adam, and therefore, it's not going to be considered yeush. And that's how he explains what is kind of curious about the Gemara. Because when you think about what the Gemara said, it really, pardon me for saying this, it really, at first blush, makes no sense at all. Right? I see this guy, he's coming with, earth-moving equipment, looking for his coin, right? And I say, no, he's not really looking for his coin. He's looking for buried treasure. Yeah, buried treasure. There were pirates here. Right, you have a little map, a little X on it. That's what he's doing. Of course, he's miyayish from his coin, which he knows is here, but maybe there's buried treasure. That's what he's looking for. The Ritva says, that is ridiculous. Right? That is what the Gemara is saying. So the Ritva's answer to that is that because it's a case of Avudah Mikol Adam, because it's a situation of Zuto Shalyam, so therefore it's as he might as well be saying it. In other words, we're saying it for him. He could be saying, I'm looking for my coin. But it won't help him. Because we have to assume that this is a Zutel Shalyam situation, and if it's a Zutel Shalyam situation, so then the only logical thing for him to be looking for is not this coin. The logical thing for him to be looking for is maybe buried treasure. Because maybe he'll find buried treasure, right? The odds of it are slim, but, people win the lottery too. But for him to expect to find his coin, that's an unreasonable expectation, and that will not change the Yeush situation. Here, it's not so clear necessarily that lahalacha we are going to follow this ritva. So the Shulchan Aruch on this halacha, source Gimel here, so it says the following. He just quotes the Gemara: Rash and afal matbeah mechavero betoch achol betoch afar mutar lekachto shevaday nityeish. He certainly has given up hope. Va'afilu ra'o sheviu kavra lekvor chachol. Even if he sees the bringing a sieve to look for it. Oh, afar lechapso ein choshishin lo. We don't take it seriously. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't expand on that. We don't take it seriously. It could mean that he agrees with the Ritva that it's a situation of zuto shelya. However, the Aruch HaShulchan, in his bringing this lahalacha, right? So the Aruch HaShulchan is the here is. Rabbi Yechiel Michal Epstein from the end of the 20th, the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, important posek from Lita, from Lithuania. So he says the following: Ra'ay shenafa mechavero. This is dalim. Matbea b'toch achol b'toch afar mutar lekachto. Devaray nityaesh. V'afilu ra'ay shevil kavra lechvar achol afar lechapso in choshen lo. De amrinan shevaday nityaesh. U'mash shemachbir et achol. So why is he sifting if he has given up hope? The savor k'shem shemeni nafal kach mistam agama me'acherim nafal v'shema emtzad davar ma. So he's saying that presumably something is here to be found. I don't expect to find my coin, but I do expect to find something. Now notice he's changed it a little bit. He's not saying that he's going to find the buried treasure, right? Not finding the coins. He's saying, I'm going to find something. That means that this is an area that presumably there are things that are to be found, and I'll pick up something. Maybe I'm not going to get something as valuable as the coin that I lost, or maybe I'll get something even more valuable. I don't know. But that's why he's doing it. So then he says, maybe he agrees with the Ritva, but he doesn't say that. Miu im omer miyad she'avad avi kavra ve'echberenu. But if the person had a different, it wasn't that he came later on with the sieve and he's looking for it, but rather he says, as he drops it, he goes, oh my gosh, I dropped it, where is it? And he gets on his, on his knees, he starts searching, he can't find it, and he says, I'm going to go get a sieve, and I'm going to start looking for it. So then the Aruch HaShulchan says, Asur litlo, dechazin en she'eno mityaesh. If we see that this person, right, meaning we, the observer who wants to take it for himself, knows that the person who lost the object has not been mityaesh. It's not merely that we are deducing that conclusion from his actions, but he's clearly stated that he's searching for this coin. Then, in disagreement with what the Ritva said, the Aruch HaShulchan says, so then there's no Yeush. This was based on Yeush. It wasn't based on it being, this is not the same as a shipwreck. This is not the same as a catastrophic flood. This is not the same as what we spoke about last week when we talked about warfare and property being taken away, being confiscated by the conquering power. This is not those kind of situations. This is a simple situation where he lost something in a place where it's hard to get at. And if he hasn't given up hope, I'll give you forget about the 20 shekel case. This is Maaseh Shehaya, a better Maaseh Shehaya. I was with my family 20 years ago. It was exactly 20 years ago. It was the January 2000. And we went, no, sorry, it was 19 years ago, it was 2001. We went to I was on Shlichut in Chicago, as you know, at the time. So I went, we did a road trip, we went to Orlando. Okay? The end of the, Disney World, all that stuff. And then we were driving back up to Chicago. Okay, so we stopped off at a strip mall to, you know, gas, bathroom stop, whatever, you know, the last outlet, Disney outlet, whatever, you know, for the next 90 miles, the big sign, last Disney outlet for 90 miles, whatever. So we went in, got it, fine, drove off. My wife had been, right, had put on some hand cream in the car. You know, she had some tapped hands, she put on hand cream. She took off her diamond engagement ring when she put it and was on her lap as she was putting cream, right? About 50 miles out, right? Meaning 40 miles to the next Disney outlet, right? So she says, I can't find my engagement ring. I said, okay. She said, where is it? She said, I took it off when I put it in the parking lot there, and, you know, must have fallen down. I said, okay, let's pull over to the side. I'm sure it's underneath your chair, whatever. Search the van. Nothing, right? Fine. She said, okay, we have to drive back. So it's 50 miles, literally. It's really 50 miles. We're an hour away to go back. She said, it's in the parking lot. We got to go find back. So we drive back the 50 miles, get to the parking lot, try to remember exactly which spot we were in, right? Get on our knees, start looking for the engagement ring. Well, there's somebody who has that engagement ring because we didn't find it, okay? Right? So, you know, but that's what happens, right? People, if you lose something, there was no yeush at that moment. Hopefully it is in that parking lot, that, you know, how big is an engagement ring that nobody would notice it on the ground, will get there within the 2 hours, and, well, that didn't happen. Somebody did find it, right? No one turned it in, right? And someone has that engagement ring, or maybe we just missed it, right? Maybe we got there, you know, the parking lot's a big thing, and diamond ring is small, and that's it, right? So the, so that's the situation. If you see the people there, and we're not midyayish, this isn't this isn't a 10 shekel coin. This is, you know, a diamond ring. This is something which is very valuable. But so according to the Ritva, that wouldn't matter, because the odds of finding it, or anyone finding it, maybe in the parking lot, the Ritva would say that's the equivalent of afar, not chol, but of anyone finding it, the Ritva says nobody's going to find it. So even without Yeush, if I find it, I just say, well, I just found myself a nice diamond ring. And according to the Aruch HaShulchan, there would be no Yeush in that situation. Yeah.
So according to the Aruch HaShulchan, what would be the difference between the Gemara's case over here and the case of when something's being taken away by the river and you're still running after it?
So the Aruch HaShulchan would say that this is a situation which is not, this is equivalent, right? Equivalent to running after it if it's a reasonable expectation that you're going to be able to find it. In other words, if it's an unreasonable expectation, that would seem to be the machloka between the Aruch HaShulchan and the Ritva. If it's an unreasonable expectation, then it's Zuto Shulyam. If it's a reasonable expectation, so then it depends on whether the person is miyayesh or not. And in the case of the flooded river, the Gemara used the criteria of whether or not he's rodei facharav. And here it would be if he brings the sieve. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that's not enough because maybe he's searching for something else. But if he says explicitly, I'm looking for this coin, I'm looking for this ring, so then the Aruch HaShulchan would say there's no Yeush under those circumstances. Okay. So, with that in mind, right, keep that factoid, as it were, in, maybe I'll put it on the board, to keep that in mind, to think about the case of Rav Asher Weiss in terms of the security camera. So one factor that we have to think about, is, we'll call it, the definition of Yeush, right, in these kind of circumstances. Next case, okay? Beginning to run out of time. Mishnah that we already saw, right, that the, if you find the money in the in the store. Now, here, the Gemara says the following. Amar Rabbi Elazar, afilu munachin al gabe shulchan. So, even if we say that it belongs to the finder and not to the storekeeper, or the continuation of the Mishnah, which I'm not going to go into right now, to the money changer, a shulchani. A money changer is called a shulchani because he sits at a table doing his job. So he's called a shulchani. So the Rebbe Elazar says that even if it's on the table, that it applies. This halacha applies. And the Gemara goes on to discuss, well, how do you understand if it's on the table? Because the Mishnah never didn't speak about that case. The Mishnah spoke either that it's in front of the counter or behind the counter. The Mishnah didn't talk about what happens if it's on the counter. Okay? So that's the Gemara's understanding, and the Gemara ends up by saying that on the counter is the equivalent of being in front of the counter. Okay? Fine. If I had a little more time, I'd read the Gemara inside, but we don't. However, there are two words missing in this Gemara. And they're missing, and this is just something to know, because of Rashi. In most of the Girsaot of the Gemara, two words that appeared. Amar Rabbi Elazar, afilu munuchanim agabe shulchan, afilu tsururin. Even if they are what tsururin?
So they're strung.
They're strung together, they're bundled together. What's the difference if they are bundled together or if they're not bundled together?
There's no siman.
In other words, was Rabbi Elazar speaking about a case with a siman or without a siman? Right? Now, of course, generally speaking, if there is a siman, so then there is no yeyush, and that's chayav lahachriz. And if there isn't a siman, so then it's yeyush, and that's a siman. So Rashi, in the Gemara, and Rashi even says, this explicitly, nira be'enai delo garsinan tsururin. It would appear to me that we should not have the word tsururin here. But most likely, and you can see this from the fact that Tosfot has the Dibur HaMatchil Afilu Tsururin, most likely this is a situation where Rashi looked at the text and said that there was a mistake here. Right? Some things that we don't think of these terms because of the printing press. We think of that if something is printed, that's the way it was. It always was. But in their way of thinking, people made mistakes and copyist errors all the time. So someone wrote Afilu Tsururin because he wanted to say this, and that's a mistake. So Rashi says, strike it, take it out. Now, and it makes perfect sense, because if there is a siman, why should it belong to the
finder?
It should be Chayav Lahakriz. It shouldn't belong to the finder, nor should it belong to the Shulchani. You have to go and try to find whoever lost it. Right? You have a clear siman. So Rashi makes perfect sense. Tosfot says, well, he wants to protect the original girsa, and he gives it a different answer. So what's Tosfot's answer? That the majority of the people, the majority of the customers here are non-Jews. And because the majority are non-Jews, and we've learned the sugya, so the mitzvah, Hashavat Aveda, doesn't necessarily apply. Maybe it applies lifnim mishurat hadin, but it doesn't apply min hadin, and therefore it's mishalom. Right? So we say, okay, but Tosfot has to introduce new information to make it work. Right? That's always a problem. You're saying, oh, why should I think that most of the people here are non-Jews? Right? That doesn't work. The Rashba, also wanting to defend the original Girsa, right? He says, at least by the time the Rashba came around, he says, Rov Svarim. So there were some of the manuscripts that didn't have it at that point, but he wants to keep that. So he says, it's the equivalent of finding it in the Gal. Finding it in the heat, right? When you have a situation where you have a store, so that's the it's the equivalent. And he says, one second, why is that the case? So take a look now at the second paragraph. I'm on the flip side, number two, Gimel, the Rashba, the second paragraph. Im Tomar. And if you're going to ask the following question, in Ken, Matzav de Chanut v'lifnei ha-shulchani amai shalom, Yachol lahachriz, excuse me, you told the Yachriz, take it and announce it. Pirshu v'talsvot mishum d'chanut rabim mitzuyem sham Yisraelim v'dachrim v'alachak rabishim ben Elazar b'rov nachrim v'chem pirshu Ramban. So he brings the Tosfot approach that says that we're based ourselves on the goyim, or because there's a lot of traffic in the room and the halachas like rabishim ben Elazar. All these sugyot, you see that we've been learning all along, are becoming, you know, are being funneled in to try to understand the specific case. And he says, no, you know, it just doesn't make sense. And he goes on to explain that, that's the part that I didn't put in here, that, you know, you're adding new information, right? Which the Gemara doesn't talk about. So what's my answer, the Rashba says? Darin sham. Because we're dealing with a specific kind of case where there is a Baal Habayit. There is a store owner. There is a money changer who's always there. So then, under those circumstances, what's going to happen? So Yeushe Meyayish Baal Minayim. Even if there is a Siman, so the person who loses it will have a will be miyayish. He'll have yeush. Why? Demeimar amre. The owner says the following: Michte chenvani dayar be. Since the storekeeper is there, right? You have the people who work in the store. They're always there. V'iyu ashkechen. Right. So they must have found it. V'kevan delo achriz, and the fact that they didn't say anything. So data ligzon. So it must mean that the storekeeper isn't particularly honest. V'lo matzina l'ukme bedina d'mishtamet. Right. So then I'll say, listen, I know I lost it. There was my wallet. It has my siman. So of course the store has it. But the store owner is not going to admit to having it. He's going to say it must be another customer who took it. Right, I can't prove my case. The odds are, if it was lost in the store, the odds are that, and certainly if it's on the table, the odds are that the storekeeper pocketed it. But I can't know with 100% surety, so I can't prove my case. And therefore, va'amar ana lo ashkechit. So the storekeeper says, I didn't find it, somebody else must have taken it. Inish da'ayle v'nafke dil machad minayu ashkechad. Maybe one of them took it. So therefore, even though there's a siman, I'm Yayish. So when I find it, so I can assume that there is Yeush in this case, and the finder can keep it. You have a situation where even when there is a Siman, if you know people are, that there is a significant chance that someone is going to not fulfill the mitzvah of Hashavat HaVeda, so then there is Yeush, and that will create a situation where Hare Elu Shalom. But that's the case of the Chanut. Whereas now I come back with these this fact and the fact before, the definition of Yeush, and all meaning the definition of Yeush depending on the circumstances, right, which we saw the Aruch HaShulchan. And the second fact is that Yeush is subjective. Yeush, which we should have understood that it's subjective, but that even situations where the halacha would say there is no Yeush, there could be Yeush in this particular case because of the circumstances that are specific to this case. Right? You might think that in a case of a chanut, I could have made perhaps the other argument, that if I know that there's someone here and the storekeeper is there, so there will be less Yeush because I could turn to someone and say, did you find it? But the Rashba says, no, the fact that the storekeeper is most likely to have found it on the one hand, but can easily claim that he didn't find it on the other, creates a situation where psychologically there will be yeush, where if I just lost it in the street, I would be looking for it. So that subjectivity can create yeush where yeush doesn't apply. And in the other hand, I have the Aruch HaShulchan telling me that the subjectivity can work the other way. Normally I lose it in the sand dune, there's yeush. But if I say explicitly that I didn't give up hope and I'm doing everything I can to find that diamond ring, so then there is no yeush at that moment until I say I give up the search. Right? At this point, by the way, if you go to Orlando and you look for a diamond ring in the parking lot and you find it, there has been yeush. Okay, 19 years later, I'm just letting you know. So go ahead and, you know, after, you know, you have an hour and a half till mincha. So whatever. No, you're mincha now. Whatever. You know, for your afternoon break, you can go there and check it out. But generally speaking, while I'm searching, there is no yeush. Okay, that's the idea. The key factor here is the subjectivity, the situation per se. And with this, I want to come back to Rav Asher Weiss. Okay, so now I want to take a look at the case that he had. I'm going to cut the sheet. All right. Here it is. Not Miyayish from the sheet. So the so now what does he say? Right? So again, the person who loses says, lost it says, I didn't have yeush because of the camels. So the Rav Asher says the following. So at first glance, there is room to accept the person who lost the object could accept his claim. Nira Ikar, so his understanding is that ein b'tanato kedei lahotzi mamon min hamuksa. It's not a strong enough claim for him to regain the money. The kamen shekabo chazal b'chol davar she'ein bo siman adam v'adai mityaesh. Since we say that without a siman, person is definitely mityaesh, ein b'yadenu levatel hanachas zo b'makom she'esh b'atzlamat video. So a video camera isn't sufficient. Dahalo af b'makom she'esh bo matzlemot, adayin, now he does the Sam argument. So Sam had the same basic understanding as Rav Asher. Why? Because he says, let's say there were security cameras. Man yemar, who's going to say, sha matzlemot avdot kira'uy? Right? Who's saying that they necessarily that the video cameras are working properly? Let's say they are working on that particular day. Now, who's going to say that the evidence on the video camera is going to be sufficiently clear that I'm going to be able to identify each person in the store? The im tipsalomar, and even if you're going to say shachet atzmunat yebrura manye marsheida oveno balachanut lezahot and mishikach the kesef. So even if it's very clear who the face in the picture is, so then how do I know that I'm going to find who it was? Right, customers come and go. The im tipsalomar sheida mihu adai nefshar shaploni achish. And even if you're going to say, oh, that was indeed Sam Kassir who took it, right? It's clear that he took it, right? But Sam could argue, no, I didn't, right? Is it a strong enough proof to do this? And you can come up with your own sveikot. So he says that as a result, there still is yeush. He continues and says, and I don't, you know, it's obviously... If you, by the way, if you're the guy who lost the money, and the storekeeper said, yeah, I found it, but halakhically I don't have to return it to you, so I'm not giving it to you. Are you ever going to go back into that store?
No.
So you see that this was a question that was asked in Israel. Okay? Because only in Israel would the storekeeper think that way, I'll keep the money. Right? Because, you know, in America, the guy would have given him the money back and a free item so that he can come back to the store. If I had more time, I'd tell you a difference between American and Israeli business practice story and something similar to this, but don't have time for it now. But anyway, but he says it's now a question of lifnei meshurat hadin. Really, min hadin, he doesn't have to return it. Lifnei meshurat hadin, you know who lost it. And you know that the person, whether halachically he had yeush or not, but he very much wants his lost item back. You know exactly who it was, so you should return it to him. This is a clear-cut case, he says, of lifnim mishurat hadin, you should definitely return it. Bimchilat kvodo, I think that based on what we've learned, I'm not sure that his original argument that there isn't yeush, right? And when I say mechilat kvodo, I really mean it, because, you know, I mean, afar tachat raglav, kabat raglav, he is a far greater talmid chacham than I. But still, I think that in this particular case, that one could make an argument that there really isn't yeush. Now, it could depend also when this question was asked. Is this the early days of video surveillance, etc.? Today, video surveillance is much better, and even over the course of the last 5 years, have been major strides in this regard. Was this when you have, and this getting in the news, all the facial recognition technology that's there. So the more that technology improves, the less room there is for the doubts that he's speaking about. Okay? So keeping that in mind. But still, the idea that he's saying that because that first line, I just want to get back to that first line, that's the one which I think is the most problematic. Because he says, Ein biyadeinu levatel halacha zo b'makom sheyesh matzlemot video. The what Chazal said, chol davar she'ein bo siman adam vaday mityaesh. So that, as we saw here, is not quite so clear-cut. It becomes very subjective. And in the subjectivity, so then you really have to ask, well, how much was this person mityaesh? Is there a reasonable claim? So he might argue that there still isn't a reasonable claim. It's along the lines of sifting the sands when he really thinks that there's no way that you can do it. Like he's sort of, just grasping for straws when he says there's a surveillance video and that's why I'm sure that I wasn't mityaesh. Maybe. So maybe that's the case. But you could argue no, that this is a situation where he really could say, this is the equivalent of the Aruch HaShulchan's case of saying, I'm not mityaesh. This is and I'm coming to search, but I don't have to search for it right away because I can rely on the video. Right? So I'll come back in a couple of days and that will be sufficient. Right? If yeush is something which is based on the subjectivity of what's going on, even, and here too, right? If you add what we said with the Rashba, the reason specifically in the store, because that's where the money was lost, I say that it doesn't belong to the person is because I'm coming and I'm saying, well, he might have taken it and I can't prove it one way or the other. Well, here with the video, I can prove it. I say, just take out that tape. Let's look at it. If it's inconclusive, it's inconclusive. But if it's conclusive and I can see that you took it, right, which is most likely is going to happen because you're the person who's there in the store all the time. So statistically, there's a 1 in 3 chance that you took it, as opposed to anyone else in the world. So then, I might not have yeush at all, according to the Rashba, under these circumstances. The specific situations of the chanut, the reason why there is more yeush that the Rashba says, even in the case where there is a siman, would work in the opposite direction the moment that we introduce the surveillance video. So, we'll stop here, but I just want you to understand, right, just to sum up, that all of these concepts that we've been learning throughout the year, and continuing to learn over the next few weeks before we switch prakim, so these have applications in the real world. And the applications in the real world might be different than they were In the case of the Rashba, 700 years ago. In the case of the Gemara, 1400 years ago. In the case of the Mishnah, 1700 years ago. Because the technology changes, the societies change, the circumstances change. Yeush, as a result, also changes. Because Yeush isn't an objective concept. Yeush is something, by definition, which is very subjective.